1496.9 FM presents Candidate Forum 2024. Your questions are welcome at 342-5863. Candidate Forum brought to you by ESP Financial, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. By Geotech, now part of the Driggs Design Group. And by Justice Painting. And now, Candidate Forum 2024 on KVOE, live and local.
Good morning. Welcome to KVOE as we have our Candidate Forum today. Chuck Samples, your host, as we focus our race on the Senate 17th District. This is our focal point here for today. It is also the third of our four candidate forums that we have here during the general election, really early cycle here. So we're pleased that you're joining us. Well, we hope that you do have questions for our panel here today. That's Mike Argabright, the Republican, and Lillian Lingenfelter, the Democrat, both running to basically follow Jeff Longbein, who was serving the district for 14 years. He has announced that he is stepping down at the end of this particular term. So both our candidates are hoping to take over the Senate 17th district and represent Lyon, also Morris, and Geary counties. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Glad to have you in. Lillian, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So far, so good. Glad to have you both in here with us today. Our format, if you've never listened to a KVOE candidate forum, or if you just haven't remembered from the past ones we've had over the last couple of weeks, it's going to be the same thing. We have our questions that'll go through up until about 10:25 to 10:35 here this morning, so roughly the first half of our program. We will then open it up to our questions for callers and texters. The number is the same, 620-342-5863, the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line via phone. Bluestem Farm and Ranch will be our text line sponsor as usual. And if we do have questions from the audience that mirror some to come from the KVOE news list, we will either take those completely off or use the caller's questions, dovetail those into the remaining questions that we have on our list. The moderator does have the opportunity to ask follow-up questions if there is some sort of a point of clarification that's needed. But beyond that, that's the rules of the road, and we will get things started here today. We've had an agreement here between opening and closing statements. We've had an agreement between the candidates that Mike will give us the opening statement first, and Lillian will give us our closing comments last here today. In between, we'll rotate the questions as we typically do, and with that in mind, we will get started. Mike, again, good morning. Our question here to get you started here with the opening statement is really framed as why you're running for office and the background that you would bring to the table to make you an effective lawmaker.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. My name is Mike Argabright. I grew up in northwest Kansas on a farm in Atwood. We have several generation family farm out there that we're very proud of, and my brother and two of his boys operate that farm. My dad was a veteran, a farmer, rancher, and a crop duster. My mother was a registered nurse. I have two sisters that are nurses. As I go through my background, you'll kind of get a splash of where I come from on a lot of issues. A couple of them already noted. My parents did instill in us that in a very rural area, very, very conservative people, they had to be to keep the farm, that schools and hospitals were important. And we have to have good schools, and we have to have a good hospital. So out of high school, I traveled to Dodge City Community College and then on to Wichita State, where I met my wife, Carla. After we were married, we moved back to Atwood for a few years, and she taught, and I coached and farmed and ranched. Then we ended up in Eureka to get a day job, a paycheck, essentially. And we were there 16 years, and it's kind of nice to look through the window and see one of my former students, Sean, over there. I'm very proud of him. At Eureka, I taught. I worked up the ladder as an administrator. My wife taught fourth grade. We raised three children. Our oldest is a teacher. Our middle child is electrical design. It started at the Tech College, and on a two-year degree, does very well in Northwest Arkansas, and our youngest is a graduate from K-State with animal science and working on new vaccines for animals, the research on new vaccines. After 16 years, we landed in Southern Lyon County, so we've actually been here 18-plus years, 17 years as superintendent of schools at USD 252. A lot of good people, developed a lot of good relationships in the greater Lyon County. I retired a year ago. My wife still teaches Title Math. We've been in the Flint Hills for about 35-plus years, so this is home to us. Been very involved and engaged in the greater community. That's always been important to me. I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm a lifelong Farm Bureau member, lifelong farmer rancher. I've always had a piece and involvement in that. I'm very proud of that. I was a United Way chair a few years ago, and that includes two of our three counties in this district, Morris and Lyon, and our community partners are very important. And what the United Way does for the community partners is important. And I do believe in that. I've been involved in SOS Strong. I was involved in the Newman Hospital Advisory Board. I chaired that committee for a few years. During those years, the good people allowed us to build a emergency department addition and urgent care. And it was a needed project, and it's being utilized. And our hospital is important. I'm a Gen X delegate, which is an international cooperative for beef and dairy products. I've been involved in Emporia Area Chamber of Commerce and the initial years of Ignite Emporia, where there's some good things going on there and continue to grow. I'm a pioneer in school districts with early childhood and daycare centers. Veteran programs, we've had our kids very engaged in those, started an honor flight program with 13 successful flights. I have helped organize, or I did organize and conducted a beef AI program for 13 area FFA programs. It was very exciting and a great experience for over 100 kids and a few adults. I have a lot of hours in Emporia State, my administrative hours, and been a part of an advisory board in that arena. Wichita State Sports Administration, lifelong member. I was part of the Leadership Emporia 27th class, and as I walked door to door, I still see a few signs of Share the Road, the yellow and white signs, so that's pretty cool to see because that's been several years ago. And we're proud members of the Emporia Zoo. I've been involved. And while I'm running, I had some very respected people, friends, current and former elected officials that encouraged me to run. And I respect that. I appreciate that, or I think I do. That's what kind of guided me into this path. So I'm well-connected in Gary, Morris, and Lyon County, and I will be well-connected.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Lillian Lingenfelter, your opening statement here today, why you're running for office, and the background that you bring that would make you an effective lawmaker.
Thank you, Chuck. To understand more about why I'm running for this office, I think folks really need to get a sense of who I am as a person. And for people that have known me my whole life, when I announced this decision, they were not surprised at all, really. So as I grew up, I knew I wanted to make a positive impact on the world. So I decided I would be a teacher. And in my first year teaching, a group of students approached me and asked to stay after school for some extra help. Of course, this is no problem with me. The only problem was is that if they missed the bus route, they would have no way to get home. And so I go to the principal and I'm like, hey, we got a problem here. And he's like, yeah, I know this is an issue that some of our students face. Unfortunately, bus routes are really not, the principal doesn't control the bus routes. And the more I pushed on that issue, the more I found really two things. I was like, the solution's simple, run a second bus route. But I also found that it's actually school boards that have a lot of control over bus routes. So I became a school board member, and I'm proud of the service that I've had on the board over the past 3 years, where I've served as vice president, currently serve as president of the board. I've also been Emporia Public Schools delegate to the Kansas Association of School Boards, the policy committee, the president's nominating committee. I've done extensive school board work. But throughout that service, I've also realized that it's actually the legislature that has much more say on issues that affect school buses and teacher pay and special education funding. And so throughout all of this time here that my husband and I have been in Emporia, I've also been very involved in the community. I currently serve on Planning Commission as well as a variety of other philanthropic and volunteer efforts and community engagement activities. Last year, I was selected to be a fellow in a nationwide fellowship program dedicated to developing school board members to make student-first decisions. And so I got to travel across the nation working with this fellowship, which was really great. I got to learn a lot and also got to connect with school board members, see the issues that public schools are facing across the nation. And last fall, I was in Oregon having some really great conversations with board members there, and they said, "We don't know really the first thing about Kansas. We're not really even sure where you are from." And I said, "Let me tell you about where I'm from. Let me tell you about the communities that I'm lucky to be a part of, the communities that I am honored to serve with honesty and integrity and authenticity, and the people that I get to be with and work for every day." And so it is with those experiences and those values in mind that I made the choice to run for this office. And amongst all of these other things, right, I've done service with communities and schools, which is now Sparkwheel. I've been an AmeriCorps volunteer for many years, worked with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And throughout all of that, I really feel like I have this robust sense of experience that gives me a sense of who I am and values that I hold really, really dearly. And you know, at a campaign event in Geary County back over the summer, my opponent referred to me as just a young gal, but I would rather refer to myself as a highly educated, award-winning teacher who has experience as an elected official and is fiercely committed to serving my community and making it a better place.
Well, with that in mind, let's go ahead and jump into our topics here today, starting with the budget. This is, generally speaking, really where our conversations begin. And I want to ask our candidates here today about the three budget priorities for the upcoming legislative session if elected. And Lillian, I'll start with you on that.
Sure. So I would say that my top budget priority is going to be about our public schools. First of all, we need to fully fund special education. The state needs to meet its obligation with regard to special education. So we know that there are 17 school districts across the state, including Geary County schools, that have had to spend $5 million or more to cover that gap in special education funding. Here in Emporia, we've had to spend more than $2 million to cover the gap of where the state does not meet its obligation on special education funding. So that is, of course, my top priority. We know that that affects our students and our teachers. Here in Emporia, 19% of our students receive special education services. We have 300 outstanding staff members that work with our special education students. And so the state needs to make that their top priority. And then, of course, other issues that I care about as well, Medicaid expansion, economic development. I see those are further down on our list, so I don't need to go on about them now. But I would say that my top priority at this moment is, of course, special education funding and getting our public schools the resources they need.
Okay. Mike, how about you? What are your three budgetary priorities here if you're elected?
Well, K-12 funding obviously is important to me and important to rural Kansas. That's the – not only are we developing kids for all the jobs that are out there and some that haven't even been created yet, but it's also an economic driver in all of our small communities, if not the biggest economic driver. It's in the top five in pretty much all of our communities across the state. Special ed funding, it is a need. We also have to and need to advocate at the federal level because that's why there's a deficiency there to see if we can get more dollars federally to do what they're supposed to do so that the state doesn't have to backfill those dollars. And I don't think a lot of people understand that piece of it. But those kids, they have special needs and they're all different. And getting growth out of kids with special needs is sometimes a challenge, and it takes more resources and it takes more people at times. So I do support those areas, and I also support the early childhood and the daycare efforts that districts are trying to do because districts, so a lot of small communities don't have daycare opportunities. That's why we started ours in Southern Lyon County, and it's been a very good program, very needed program. Supporting our higher ed, and I think looks like we have another question down the road for that. Mm-hmm. But Emporia State, Flint Hills Tech, K-State, within our districts, 17 here, making sure that they have the resources they need to supply the workforce people that we're desperately needing across the state. I am very much pro-business, and I do want to look at opportunities to keep our small businesses alive and our downtown businesses thriving, because they are challenged in that area. I do believe in local control. And so when you talk about budget items, there's a lot of overlapping in some cases. We have to work with our local elected officials, which is a majority of local property taxes. But that's obviously a budget item. So when you talk about budget, local control is important to me. I think those people are elected to do their job, and it's not our job to overlap into them when we don't need to. Whether it's a school board, a city commission, a county commission, but we do need to work directly with them because it does impact the overall budget of the state.
Okay. We'll take our next question, then we're going to take our first break here on the candidate forum. And this is another budgetary question, but it has to deal with tax policy. And obviously, this past session was important because essentially finalizing the food sales tax reduction / elimination, but there's also been a big emphasis on cutting taxes in a number of different categories over the last couple of years. And the state's been flush with cash for several years going to and through the COVID-19 pandemic. But there are a lot of concerns now that that could be reversing and we could be near zero, near shortfall status by the end of the decade. So, Mike, I'll get you started here. And you can start us off with this question: is what does Kansas need to do, or what can Kansas do over the next session or two from your perspective to perhaps avert a major financial strain here by the end of the decade?
Well, I think the first thing we need to examine and monitor the cause and effect of the tax relief that just happened, some of that being implemented, some of that going to be implemented, and make the changes we need to make if the cause and effect wasn't the intent of what they approved, because that was a bipartisan approach. And with a special session. So the cause and effect's important. Obviously, controlling spending. That's what we have to look at each and every year. We cannot continue to add programs if we don't have the dollars to do it. We have to live within our means. And I think that's a difference between me and my opponent. If you're going to start new ideas, new programs, then you have to be able to pay for them. And that concerns me, but obviously looking at our expenditures and our spending, controlling our spending. Efficiencies in all the agencies, I think that's always important. I don't, whether it's on a personal basis of a business or a government program, but all of our agencies need to be encouraged, need to look in the mirror and say, how can we better perform at all levels, even in the education world? I think that will always be a priority, and it should for elected officials. I think when you're going through an election, this question should be at the hub of the campaign. You should be able to identify your priorities, and that's what you lead with when you're an elected official in Topeka. So I have consistently said what my priorities are. And that's important when you build a budget, especially if we don't have the funds to live within our means at some point. So I will continue to do that. Funding K-12, first responders, senior citizens, disabled veterans. I'm worried about those people living on fixed incomes. And in Kansas, we don't say it enough, and I'm not sure why, but our number one industry is agriculture. I have a lot of background in agriculture, and we have to take care of our farmers and ranchers and support them when there's an opportunity to support them. And a lot of times that's through tax policy, to be very honest. So those are the areas that I would sure. The first piece is making sure we examine the cause and the cause and effect of the tax relief that was just approved. And then looking at our three-legged tax stool structure to make sure we have a fair and equitable approach when collecting taxes.
Okay. Lillian, what's your thoughts here? What does Kansas need to do over the next session or two to at least set the stage for averting major issues coming up by the end of the decade?
Yeah, so I'm actually glad that Mike brought up this bit about the three-legged stool, because actually that's been kind of something I've been ruminating on as we talk about where the state's revenue streams come from. So with I guess, regard to property taxes in particular, that's been an issue that keeps coming up throughout this race. And it used to be that if you worked hard, you tighten your belt, you could pay your bills and you could send your kids through school, maybe you could take a vacation, but we know that everything costs more lately. We know that the middle class feels like it's being squeezed out. And I know that families are doing what they can. I feel the strain of property taxes. Two, the problem with property taxes really is twofold. First of all, it's not entirely up to the legislature to make decisions about property taxes. That's also a municipal issue. And on the local level, that's where our property tax dollars go to support things that we need here in our communities, our roads, our bridges, our fire departments, our first responders, our public schools. All of those things require a revenue stream, part of which comes from property taxes as well. So in order to maintain this current level of revenue, and really to circle back to your original question about what we need to do to avoid financial strain as on a state level, is that we could look at other revenue streams, right? What federal or private grants are out there? What programs could we do to balance both the need, the financial burden, right, that some folks are facing right now, and also the future needs of our state, right? We might have to look at alternative revenue streams. We can't go around eliminating everyone's property taxes as much as I think we would all like that. We have to recognize that in order to fund the priorities that we do have as a state, that we need to have access to some additional revenue streams. And that might mean, other forms of tax dollars, right? Like, what do transient guest taxes look like, for example, just as an idea, right? If we know that we want to recognize the financial need that some people are facing and lessen that burden, which I think that we could do, right? We know that people are struggling. We just have to find balance in this state. And with regard to agriculture, I'm proud to be from rural Kansas. I know that our farmers, our ranchers in these communities play a vital role in who we are as a state and who we are as a country. And that's why I'm committed to growing rural Kansas, so that young professionals and their families can see themselves putting down roots here, and so that our aging populations can stay safely in the place that they have called home. And I did not expand on priorities in your previous question, because I see that so many of my priorities are listed down below, but that's not to say that I don't have budget priorities.
Understood. Let's take our first break here on KVOE's Candidate Forum. It is 1029 KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia, KVOE.com. Lillian Lingenfelter, Democrat. Republican Mike Argerbright joining us as they vie for the Senate 17th District to supplant Jeff Longbine, who's retiring at the end of the term. Our second break coming. Your questions as well through the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line. Either way, that number is 620-342-5863. Canada Forum today brought to you by Justice Painting, by ESB Financial, and by Geotech, now part of the Driggs Design Group.
I'm Candace Wakeman with ESB Financial. We are a proud supporter of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being a part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities that we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and this greater country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
This is Steve Brosmer, land surveyor of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that 2024 marks our 40th year of service to the community? And did you know that I am retiring and that Geotech has become a part of Driggs Design Group? And did you know that the staff, phone number, and location remain unchanged, and that we now offer engineering as well as land surveying? So contact Driggs Design Group for the very best in local surveying and engineering in the Emporia and Flint Hills area.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
The 23rd annual KVOE Drive for Food is coming on Thursday, October 17th. Email your address to kvoe@kvoe.com. Then on the morning of October 17th, leave your donation on your porch or driveway. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live, Let's Pack the Pantry, and local.
Thank you for your help.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
10:31 on KVOE and KVOE.com as we continue our candidate forum involving the candidates for the Kansas Senate 17th District race. We're going to open up the phones and the text line here in just a little bit here on KVOE, so get your questions ready for Mike Argerbright and Lillian Lingenfelter, who are hoping to have that spot here by the end of the day, November 5th. Medicaid expansion has come up a couple of times already in our first segment. Lillian, what is your stance on Medicaid expansion, for one? And then part two of this question is, your thoughts on whether concerns about, say, federal funds may be disappearing based off of the upcoming election, or maybe benefits not reaching their targets, and whether those concerns are valid.
We all work as hard as we can to provide the best for our families, but even some of the hardest working people I know are avoiding getting the healthcare or medical care they need due to rising costs, and that's why we need to expand Medicaid. It's also why I've worked over the past 3 years to try and keep healthcare costs down for Emporia Public Schools staff. Medicaid expansion is a bipartisan issue that is popular with Kansans. We know 73% of Kansans want to see Medicaid expansion, and it is my priority to listen to my constituents and pass legislation that works for Kansans. This would ensure 150,000 additional Kansans. So my opponent can sit here and say that he supports Medicaid expansion, and he likely will. But the reality is that he was handpicked by Senate Republicans, which let Medicaid expansion die again last year. He'll also say that Medicaid expansion is not going to save our rural hospitals. He's right. We do need comprehensive solutions to address the challenges we face in rural Kansas when it comes to healthcare accessibility. However, earlier this year, the CEOs of Newman Regional Health and Morris County Hospital, along with a list of other hospital officials and locally elected officials from a variety of communities, signed a letter saying that Medicaid expansion would be a significant step in preserving care for rural communities. So this is certainly something that our local hospitals would support. I don't see why the legislature could not continue to move forward with it. An additional solution would lie in the recent investments that Emporia State has made to the nursing program. I've got to see some really awesome models of what that new building is going to look like on campus. And that investment in our students is also an investment in our state. When we talk about the healthcare workforce shortage, it is important that we recognize that investment. You know, 80% of Emporia State graduates, like myself, stay in Kansas, like myself and like my husband, and we work here in our communities. And so that investment that the university has placed it's not only an investment in our students, but it's an investment in healthcare and in the future of our state as well. With regard to the second part of your question, what I know about this is that half the states across the nation have approved Medicaid expansion. I think it's time that Kansas takes the next step forward, right? There's always a question about, you know, what might the next election hold, or might this person do something else? I think that in this instance, sure, there's always risks associated with doing anything, right? But the reality is that other states across the nation are doing this. They're finding success with it. We know it's going to help our people here. We know it's bipartisan. We know the constituents want it. At this point, the only thing holding it back is the legislature. So it might seem like we agree on this issue, but I think we need to think long and hard about whether electing another handpicked Topeka politician is going to result in the expansion of Medicaid. We've seen the Republican Party block Medicaid expansion time and time again, so why would this time be any different?
Okay. Mike, what are your thoughts here on Medicaid expansion and the comments that Lillian just made?
Well, first of all, I do support Medicaid expansion, and I do voice this because it's been framed that it'll save rural hospitals. It won't save rural hospitals, but it will definitely help with a revenue stream. And all revenue streams in a rural hospital are important to those hospitals. So I'm not this is my first run at a political position, so I don't have a voting history, and I don't have preconceived things that are being mentioned. But you do have to get through leadership, regardless of what party you're in, to get things to move. And it appears to be a leadership issue. I a Republican is going to have a better chance getting that through than a Democrat, to be quite honest. I do support it. I know it will help. The amount of uncompensated care in any hospital, that's people that come in and need care, and they get care, and some don't have insurance and don't have a way to pay. So any way that we can open up a revenue channel, I think that's important. If Medicaid support were to end, I think that's just an issue you have to tackle at that point in time. There's enough Medicaid voices out there nationwide that will speak to that issue if that issue arises. But is it a threat? Yes. Has it been used to maybe deter some people from supporting it? Yes. That's not the position I'm in. I would support it. I have supported it, and I have publicly said that.
Okay, let's move on to our next couple of questions, which will be involving education, and then we'll take our second break here because we have questions that are at both the K-12 level, with obviously both of our candidates have a lot of experience in, and then we'll shift to Emporia State University specifically in just a second. But, Mike, you get us started here. We've talked a little bit about education funding as a priority. I'll start by asking you whether the levels for funding right now, K-12 public higher education, are appropriate. And then part two of this question is on policy. If there's one change that you can make to public education policy specifically, what change would that be and why?
The first question was adequate funding?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Right now, I think the Consumer Price Index increases are adequate. I think it's allowed districts, and all of them may have a little different approach than this, but it's back to local control and what they decide to do. But it has allowed a lot of districts that I'm familiar with to increase their teacher pay and invest in that because of our teacher shortages, and just trying to hold on to what we already have is important. So I think that's been a reasonable approach. All of our bills go up, all of us, including public education, the business of public education. So I think that has been a good approach. And several years ago, we asked for a multi-year approach. We have been doing that. I would support that. It allows our school boards and our superintendents to actually plan ahead. Whether enrollment's going up or enrollment's going down, they at least know what to expect and project through that. I support that effort, and I haven't heard that brought up, but a long-term commitment, and when I say that, a 3 to 5 year approach, I would support more than that. But a 3 to 5 year approach as a minimum allows our districts to plan and either ramp up staff, or they may have to cut staff if enrollment's going down, but they can plan that way, and it has helped our teacher pay. What was the second part of the question?
If you could make one change to public education policy, what it would be and why?
Well, I think the thing that we need to get a hold of is our special education funding, and really just finally embrace that, and not just a one-time money every once in a while, but to actually embed that in our formula. And the thing that I don't know a lot of people realize, but our formula is going to get either reviewed or reconstructed, but at a minimum reviewed here in a year or two. And the intricacies of our funding formula, which I don't really like, there's a lot of pieces to it, but they're there because of accountability. I understand why they're there. But all the weightings and the processes that go into a formula, I have a lot of experience in. And we need people at the table that understand that, because when that review comes up, not all the people are as supportive as we are. And so you have to have tough conversations and convince people as to why our public education needs funded. And I will do that. Special education, the funding formula, are the two areas of that last part of that question that I am concerned about in moving forward, and I will represent rural Kansas.
Lillian, what are your thoughts here on the funding levels for K-12 and higher education? And then if you could make a change to public education policy, what would that change be?
Yeah, thank you. I'm in the schools every day. I know what it's like to have to spend your own money on your classroom. I know the real challenges that our schools are facing, that our teachers are facing, that our students are facing. So we're really proud of this fact that we have fully funded our public schools for the last 6 years. But what that statement misses is the fact that we have consistently failed to meet our obligation to fully fund special education. State reimbursement has been below what the state law is since 2012. And I talked about this previously, but we know that school districts across the state are having to spend extra money out of their general fund to overcome that gap in funds needed. Here in Emporia, we have 11 specialized programs that are focused on special education. So this lack of special education funding has a direct effect on our students and their teachers here. So if the state met their obligation, we would not have to divert funds. Previously, it was said that this is actually a federal issue. I think that it can be both, right? That the state set this obligation for themselves, and we as a legislature ought to hold ourselves accountable to meeting that obligation. Yes, additional federal funds certainly are not going to hurt, but I think that there's a balance in that budget on the state side of things as well. And we know that when funds intended to cover the actual cost of general education through the general fund must be diverted, all of our students hurt in the long run. You know, I have significant education finance experience. The vast majority of a school board's responsibility is managing the budget of the school district. We've worked really hard over the past few years here in Emporia to right-size the school district, meet our budgetary needs, have a balanced budget, manage the budget for the bond project. There's a lot going on there that has given me really great insight as to what education looks like today. And in addition to my own work each and every day in the classroom. So really from the classroom to the boardroom, I have this extensive budget experience. And I know that the Senate is going to be reworking the school finance formula within the next year. Just to point out some other experience that I do have, you know, my first master's degree is in education policy and leadership. There is a focus on finance there as well. Currently working on a second degree program that is just focused on education finance. And so I'm really proud of the experience that I have there. You know, it's not 1985 anymore. I'm in the schools every day. I see the challenges that we're facing. We need real solutions for 2024.
What about policy? And we're going to kind of speed up the break a little bit after this, but yeah. Education policy, if there's one change that you can make, what would it be?
So I think that has to come down to advocating for all of our public schools and what they need. You know, that is the state's job, the legislature has that responsibility to our local districts. That being said, certainly an advocate for local control. I know that we've seen neighboring states pass really broad swath policies that affect individual school districts. And it is my priority to let individual districts have local control as much as possible. But in order for them to be successful with that, they need support from the state.
Let's take our second break here on the KVOE Candidate Forum. Lillian Lungenfelter, Mike Argerbright joining us here, both vying for the Kansas Senate 17th District seat by November 5th, Election Day. We're going to come back, talk about Emporia State University, and we have opened up the questions now to you, our listeners, 620-342-5863 via the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line or the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. Candidate Forum today brought to you by Geotech, now part of the Driggs Design Group, ESB Financial, and Justice Painting.
This is Steve Brosmer, land surveyor of the Emporian Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that 2024 marks our 40th year of service to the community? And did you know that I am retiring and that Geotech has become a part of Driggs Design Group? And did you know that the staff, phone number, and location remain unchanged and that we now offer engineering as well as land surveying? So contact Driggs Design Group for the very best in local surveying and engineering in the Emporia and Flint Hills area.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
I'm Candace Bakeman with ESB Financial. We are a proud supporter of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being a part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities that we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and this greater country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
We want to recognize the best students in our area. Nominate a student from Emporia High School or an area high school today at kvoe.com/student. It's the Student of the Month from KVOE 96.9 FM, 1400 AM, and kvoe.com.
We're going to learn a lot.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
1047 KVOE on KVOE.com, our candidate forum occupying our airwaves until about 11 o'clock here this morning, our Senate 17th District race. Mike Argerbright, Lillian Lingenfelter, our guests here today. Your questions welcome here as the program continues here and wraps up over the next 15 minutes or so. We mentioned here about education funding, referenced higher education in the last question, but we're focusing specifically on Emporia State University here, the reinvestment process, one-time funding streams, and enrollment all playing into this. Lillian gets a chance to get us started on this question. First off, your view of the reinvestment process that's been underway now for a couple of years at ESU, and if you are elected here, your thoughts on maybe large one-time funding streams that have come in the last couple of years and the validity of those if enrollment continues to decline.
I'm a proud ESU alumni, and it's my intention to support Emporia State as well as all of our Regents universities and our trade and technical programs to grow post-secondary opportunities for Kansas students. We know as educators that we prepare students for jobs that we might not even know will exist yet in the future. And so the prosperity and job creation of the 21st century and as we move Kansas into the future depends on vocational, technical training, our community colleges, and our universities across the state. So we know also that we cannot place the burden of these rising costs on students through increased tuition. There's a variety of strategies that we could take that would make colleges more affordable for students. And I'm really proud of some of the things that Emporia State has done with like the new scholarship programs, getting to see more students joining other activities. I had some really great conversations with folks at the university about more students joining the marching band, joining the theater program. And really, when I look at that from an educational perspective, but also someone that has spent extensive time with college students, is that when they are able to be involved in other activities at the university level, not only does that enrich their current experience as a student, that allows them to contribute back to the campus and community and university life, that makes them more engaged alumni as well. So I really am excited about these new scholarship programs that the university has. And I think that initially, the reinvestment process certainly was a challenge, right? I don't think anyone is going to deny that there were some difficult moments with that. Now, though, I think that we are really starting to see maybe that light at the end of the tunnel. We also know that university enrollment is down across the nation. So I spend a lot of time volunteering with college students, and a couple summers ago, was attending a nationwide conference that was about issues affecting sorority life. And throughout that conference, we got to talking about these smaller sized universities and the challenges that they face. And that's not a problem just that Kansas faces. That's a nationwide issue, right? And somewhere in here is a conversation about declining birth rates and things like that that the universities are focused on. So when it comes to one-time funding streams, enrollment is going to continue declining probably for a while, and that's not just at Emporia State. So I think that if we don't invest in the university, that might result in additional declining enrollment, right? Students are looking for a certain type of university experience that meets their needs and prepares them for their future careers. And we ought to have that here in Emporia. The university is a huge part of who we are. It's a huge part of our economy here. And so I think that it is important that we continue to invest in the university and that without that investment, that's going to hurt our students and our community here in the long run.
Mike, what's your thoughts here? First off, your view of the reinvestment process at ESU, and if you're elected, what's your thoughts on the large one-time funding streams continuing, as we've seen the last couple of years, if enrollment continues to go down?
Thank you, Chuck. I am supportive of Emporia State University and Flint Hills Tech College. And yes, I think the funding is okay. I do think our smaller regions are underfunded compared to the larger ones, to answer part of that question. I do believe in investing in programs that are appropriate to address the workforce needs of any area of Kansas and all of Kansas. And I think those incentives should be in place that are connecting our employers with new employees and skilled people. So I'm very supportive in that arena. I think on the reinvestment, the one-time funding pieces, I think I'm okay with that. I support that. I think every year you have to reevaluate that and really look at what's in front of us. And does it address the workforce needs when you look at that one time? But I think that's an appropriate way to do that, to give boost to any of our regions. And I think it's important to them, and I've talked to them. I do know that's important to them. An example is our nursing program that is happening and taking place, and that's a good investment for all of Kansas. In addressing our nurses and the nurse shortages, and a program that's a good investment, in my opinion, and I would support those kind of things.
Okay. We're going to shift into abortion now, which is this has been a hot topic for decades, both at the state and federal level, and it's got more conversation points both at the state and federal level going into the November 5th general election. Mike, I get to start with you on this. Your position on abortion, and if you were given the choice, what you would change about current abortion law.
Okay, thank you. I consider myself pro-life, and I know that's an individual position, and I know it's not shared by everyone, and I respect both sides of that. I would not support an abortion ban in Kansas because I do believe there's exceptions. And those exceptions are rape, incest, and the health and the life and the well-being of the mother. And I do think that's between that doctor and that person. I also respect the 2022 vote from Kansas. So that's my position on it. I would not support a ban. But I am a pro-life person. So
I'm going to follow up, because obviously there was the Gazette article that came out a few days ago about, I think it was a mailer that came out shortly after our primary election candidate forum that, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was total support of pro-life. If memory serves me correctly, that was the gist of the mailer. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I wanted to give you a chance to maybe add any additional clarification to your policy on that, if you feel that's needed.
Well, I think I just did. But I am pro-life. But I also respect and I'm pro-life with the exceptions. And so I also respect what the voters voted on, and I also with the exceptions that I've mentioned.
Okay. Mike, thank you. Lillian, what is your thoughts here? What's your position on abortion, and what you would change about current state abortion law if you were given the choice?
Thank you for the question. I know this is something that's been weighing heavily on the minds of a lot of our voters. It's been a topic that keeps coming up, so I'm happy to take the time today to answer this. I've been very clear and straightforward in my answer that I am proudly in support of an individual's right to choose whatever reproductive health care options are best for them. Supporting reproductive health care in Kansas is a testament to the roots of personal liberty ingrained in Kansas history, and it's a value that I hold close. You know, back in the summer of 2022, I was talking to some friends from out of state on the night of the election, and they were initially surprised about the way that Kansas had voted, and I was like, sure, I'm surprised. But people did a lot of work to make that possible, right? There was a lot of grassroots efforts, but also freedom is who we are from our founding, right? It's a huge part of who we are as Kansans. And that's what I mean when I say that this is a personal liberty issue that is a huge part of our history, and that value I hold closely. Kansans already told the government that we know what is best for our bodies in 2022. The state Supreme Court has reaffirmed that decision, and it's crucial that we elect legislators that support reproductive freedom. No matter your position personally on reproductive health care, we can agree that Kansans should be able to make personal medical decisions for themselves, not the government. despite an overwhelming vote in 2022, Republicans continue to ignore the will of the people and push unpopular restrictions on reproductive health care. And honestly, regarding my opponent, it's not necessarily clear where he stands. I did not have to write an article in the Gazette to clarify my position. The mailer says that you're 100% pro-life. That means no exceptions. So you won't explain really what that means or the flip-flopping on the issues. And for me, I think that we deserve better from our legislators to be able to stand clearly on the issues. You know, we don't need that. Kansas has always stood for freedom, and it's that freedom that I would advocate for in the Senate. Decisions regarding all aspects of reproductive health must be left up to an individual and their doctor. You know, despite what Mike says when the cameras are on, he's anti-choice. So is the money supporting his campaign. You don't have to believe me. Just look at the mailer. And this is a signal to me that you'll say and do whatever it takes to get elected without considering the will of the district. Our constituents need to know that they can rely on their elected officials. You can't have it both ways. And ultimately, this is not a talking point for women. This is not a talking point for people that are affected by reproductive health care restrictions on their day-to-day life. This is our lives. This is the difference on whether or not women die in parking lots, right? You can't put your finger in the wind and decide that this needs to be the choice that you make or the statement that you make to get elected. It's not, we can't say this to look good on the issue. This isn't a talking point for women.
Mike, I know that you've already given one clarification here. I'm going to give you the chance to make a second one if you feel needed, and then we're going to take our final break.
First of all, I don't support late-term abortions, and I did not say that earlier. I am pro-life with the exceptions, and I've stood behind that stance, and I'm not, and I do respect the voters' wishes, and I have said that, and I won't support a ban because I believe there's exceptions to that.
Okay. We'll take our final break here on KVUE's Candidate Forum, 1058 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Mike Argerbright, Lillian Lingenfelter joining us here this morning. Don't forget that we have one more Candidate Forum Tuesday. We'll talk about that more when we come back from our break. Our Candidate Forum here today is brought to you by Justice Painting, by Geotech, part of the Driggs Design Group, and by ESB Financial.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
I'm Candace Bakeman with ESB Financial. We are a proud supporter of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being a part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities that we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and this greater country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
This is Steve Brosmer, land surveyor of the Emporian Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that 2024 marks our 40th year of service to the community? And did you know that I am retiring and that Geotech has become a part of Driggs Design Group? And did you know that the staff, phone number, and location remain unchanged and that we now offer engineering as well as land surveying? So contact Driggs Design Group for the very best in local surveying and engineering in the Emporia and Flint Hills area.
At Bunge, their strength is in their partnerships between farmers and the global marketplace. So when it comes to navigating the soybean market, just know that they'll stand by you long after the harvest is done. Bunge, built on two centuries of farmer support. Visit them online at bunge.com. Connecting farmers to the world since 1818.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM would like to remind you that the Dia de los Muertos Festival will be held in downtown Emporia on Saturday, October 26th. Presented by Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow, come celebrate a unique cultural tradition.
I'm so excited.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
overlapping a bit here on KVOE's Candidate Forum, past 11 o'clock here on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. Candidate Forum with the Kansas Senate 17th District candidates, Lillian Lingenfelter and Mike Argerbright joining us. We'll have closing comments here in just a second. We are closing down the input session of our program here today via the phone and the text line. But we did get one question here off of the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line here this morning. And this does not specifically address Mike, but I believe it is geared towards him. But we'll ask both of our panelists here, because it is not specified. Do you believe Donald Trump is fit to serve as president of the United States? And do you support him? Will you vote for him?
So the quick answer is there's a lot of emotion for both candidates, good or bad, and I focus on this race, our Senate race, because that's where I think I can make the biggest difference. I am worried about the economy. I am worried about the agriculture and the ag bill. I am worried about small businesses. I'm worried about the inflation at the grocery stores and every place else that we go. I am concerned about strong military presence and support. I do care about our veterans of the United States, and I do want safe communities and country. With that said, I do lean at the Republican ticket.
Okay. Lillian, what's your thoughts here on that particular question? Again, I have an idea how you're going to answer, but given the fact that this question was not specified—
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
Right. So I'll say, yeah, I'm also concerned about the future of our country. That's why I'm so heavily involved in things that affect our community and our local government and our state government, because I share a lot of the similar concerns that Mike has talked about. You know, things like prices, they affect me too. So I do share some of those concerns. That being said, you know, I'm also not an expert on what makes someone fit to serve. I'm not a doctor. But I do believe that we have seen what a Trump presidency did to this nation. And as is evidenced by the party that I am currently affiliated with, I will be proud to vote for our first female president.
Okay. Let's shift to our closing comments. And before we do that, I just want to thank both Mike and Lillian for spending an hour with us here today, and you as well, listening to us at home, and also firing up KVOE.com here for those of you listening now or wanting to do some comparing and contrasting through the general election process. And the closing comment is very simple. We're framing it as, why should voters choose you by November 5th? Mike, I'll let you start with this.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you for this opportunity today. I bring a wide range of experiences, from agriculture to schools to hospitals to healthcare to daycare to business management to rural Kansas and advocacy at the state, local, and federal levels, because I care about where I live and I care about the future for my kids and my grandkids. I have the energy and I have the time. I bring a positive approach for all of Kansas. I've done that in my career, and I think it's important to always have a positive approach, and I will bring that to the table. I have proven leadership and will continue to build positive partnerships and relationships in Kansas. I'm not a career politician, nor do I have any intentions. I do bring fresh ideas. I'm new to the table, and I'll bring a lot of energy to Topeka. I am a Republican who believes in the greater community values. I have the ability to work with leadership and develop legislative agendas. That's in a Republican state, for the most part, whether you like it or not, that's what it is. And you have to have the ability to influence an agenda, just to get a topic into a committee. And I will bring that voice to the table. I have over 35 endorsements. I'm very appreciative of that, because it has helped me in the campaign know that people and groups have the confidence in me. Some of those include the Kansas Livestock Association, the Kansas Bankers Association, the Kansas State Council of Firefighters, the Kansas National Education Association, the National Federation of Independent Business, Kansas Farm Bureau, Game On Kansas Schools, Kansas Hospital Association, Kansas Realtors Association, just to name a few. I've been a successful business person as a farmer rancher in a several generation family farm. I also operate my own cattle farm and ranch, and I'm very proud of that. I was a superintendent of schools for 17 years. That is the person that manages the budget in a school district. And we were successful in doing that. I've been a part of several advisory boards, including hospital, a health insurance board of over 5,000 contracts. I'm a team player. I will work across the aisle. I have a passion for three L's, and that's listen, learn, and lead. I will listen, and I will learn from my constituents, and when it's time to lead, I will lead, and I will be connected to our district. I will continue to support Emporia State University and Flint Hills Tech College. This Senate position is about running and the oversight of Kansas business, and that's what should be the priorities. I will listen and I will represent our constituents in Lyon, Morris, and Geary counties. I value rural Kansas, and I will represent rural Kansas in the Flint Hills. I value our farmers, ranchers, our educators, our small business, our health professionals, hospitals, first responders, veterans, active military, senior citizens, and our youth. And I think it's everybody's job in the middle to pull for our senior citizens and our youth, both the people that have paid their dues and then the young ones coming up that are going to take care of us down the road, and making sure they're well equipped. I truly appreciate this opportunity. My name is Mike Argerbright. I would value and appreciate earning your vote.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Lillian Lingenfelter, why should voters choose you come November 5?
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you for everyone who took the time to listen this morning and be engaged in this process. I know I'm the youngest candidate in this race, but in a district where 66% of the population is under the age of 44, I bring a unique approach that bridges generational gaps, ensuring that the voices of both younger and older constituents are heard and respected. I have the drive and skill to build coalitions and work across generational and partisan lines, and have the experience doing just that. School board is a nonpartisan position. So for my entire career, I have been working in nonpartisan positions that has given me very clear experience on what it means to make decisions that are best for my constituents. For example, expansion of childcare access to staff of Emporia Public Schools, raising the minimum wage for our classified staff, working through managing the bond project, and a variety of other issues. The constituents of the 17th District deserve someone who is running because they care about the district, not because they're just looking for something to do. My generation is running fast into public service because we recognize the urgency of our current situation. That's why it's my priority to fully fund our public schools and support our teachers. I'm in the classroom every day. I understand the needs that we have from the classroom to the boardroom. I know the great things that we are doing and the needs of our school systems, and I'm the one currently working in that system. It's my goal to expand access to rural healthcare, not to continue to hold Medicaid expansion back. Regardless of what Mike said previously, it's been the Republican Party that has refused to bring it to the floor for debate. And grow our rural economies to keep people here and improve our quality of life. And the politicians in Topeka are dead set on repeating old ideas that we know don't work. And not to go back and rehash the abortion question again previously. However, that's a prime example of this. The voters voted. Let the legislature move on. We don't need to keep bringing it back up. It's not up to the legislature to decide at this point. Unfortunately, the Republican Party has continued to try to do so in the last two sessions after the voters made their voice heard. We need leaders that work on real solutions with honesty and integrity, that don't waver on the issues, and that put Kansans first. I know the time to make Kansas the best it can be is right now. My opponent has said the biggest difference in us is experience. Let me be clear. I have ample experience that I believe makes me duly qualified to serve in this position. I would not have decided to run did I not believe that I was capable and had the experience to do the best job I could. for my constituents. And my experience that I am currently living looks a lot more like that of working Kansans and young families than his does. And they deserve representation in the legislature too. With regard to time, I am fully aware of the time that it takes to serve my constituents and do the best job that I can for them. If I did not believe that I had the time for this position, I would not have signed up for it. Being retired does not independently qualify you to serve in the legislature. Working Kansans and young families deserve representation too. And that's why I was endorsed by Governor Kelly amongst another list of endorsements. But Governor Kelly endorsed me because she believed I was a candidate that would make middle-of-the-road decisions for the betterment of Kansans. Unlike my opponent, who, quote, will be fighting to restore Trump's America First agenda. You don't have to believe me. Look at the mailers. My generation can't wait for the next election or for someone else to come along and do the work for us. I'm asking for your vote on November 5th because I'm something different, not just more of the same. Thank you for your vote.
Lillian, thank you very much. Lillian Lingenfelter, Mike Argerbright, our candidate forum guests here today. Again, there's one more candidate forum coming. This will be Tuesday, 10:06 in the morning, and our focus returns to the Lyon County Commission, the third district race between Chris Bartell, the Republican, and Bill Neinstedt, the Democrat, in that race. It's now 11:12 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
KVOE's Candidate Forum 2024 has been brought to you by Justice Painting, by ESB Financial, member FDIC, an equal housing lender offering great travel experiences with their Spirited 50 Travel Club, and by Geotech, now part of the Dregs Design Group. Candidate Forum 2024 on KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local.